Today's Shir in Masechta Chulin, Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis on an Aleph at the beginning of the new Perek Eil Treifus. As the name of our Perek implies, our Perek will be discussing the Treifus, what makes an animal a Treifa. The Torah says, "Ubas b'sod a Treifa, b'sechelen, meat that's found in the field that's Treifa, may not be eaten, but kelef tashlichinasu. It should be given to the dogs." Of course, the simple pshat in the pasuk is talking about meat, animal, that was attacked and became a treifa. It was attacked and became a balmum because it was attacked. And that is meat that may not be eaten. And however, as Rishonim explained, that even though the Torah uses the word treifa, which means torn, besod in the field, that it was torn in the field, certainly what's asur to be eaten is not limited to meat that was torn in the field. Rather, it encompasses any animal that has, as our Mishnayos of this parak and Gemara of this parak will identify, a set of treifas, a set of defects that show that the animal could not have survived. Interestingly to point out that it seems that according to the Rambam, that even though of course, as I just said, all the various treifas that are mentioned may not be eaten with the raisa, but they're in the category of a halach l'mosh m'sinai, and the only treifa for which one would get malchus for eating would be treifa that we just identified, a treifa where the animal was torn. All other animals would not have a chiyuv malchus. Most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they hold that the issa treifa applies to all the treifas that are identified in our perek, and that there's a chiyuv malchus for eating any of those meat, no matter how it became a treifa. As we're going to see in the Gemara, there's a machloikis about a treifa. One man, the Amma, says that a treifa ain't a chaya, it can't survive more than 12 months. The other opinion is that treifa chaya, that an animal can survive as a treifa more than 12 months. Although the Rishonim explained that even according to that opinion, what it means to say is that it can't survive forever with this defect. What just means is it could survive longer than 12 months. The Rashba's opinion, interesting Rashba, is that even if we'll see an animal that is identified in our Mishnah as a treifa surviving more than 12 months, it can't be. He says that if the Torah says it can't survive, it won't survive. The Marshal and many other Rishonim and Achronim disagree with the Rashba, and their explanation is that once our Mishnah, once Chazal, once the Halacha Moshe Mesinai establish that something is a treifa, so even if we'll see that there's a particular exception to the rule, that won't change it from being a treifa. It may be considered an exception to the rule, but it still will be a treifa. For as the Chazon Ish and I saw a Moshe explain, they explain that of course there are changes in Teva, there are changes in the world that happen over generations, where certain defects at one point are incurable and in later generations are curable. Certain diseases are less of a disease in earlier generations and more serious of a disease in later generations. Certain refuahs, certain medicines are medicines in earlier times but won't be effective in our time. The best example they give is Hakazas Adam, that the Gemara so many times speaks about bloodletting as being the most common type of refuah, of healing, that they would do in the times of Chazal. Now bloodletting, of course, is not done at all. Different elements affect us. They explain climate, the change of way people live and eat. And they explain that we know that the Medrash says that the first 2,000 years of the world were Shnei Alpayim Torah. The first 2,000 years of the world are called the first 2,000 years are the years of Torah. What it means that those 2,000 years are the years of Torah means that at that time all of the halachas that affect us were established, and those halachas remain for all future generations, even if the situation were to change. And therefore, even if there's a treifa that's identified in our sugyas as a treifa, and one could say, well, I'll show you that it could be healed, it still would be a treifa. And so too, vice versa. And they explain, the proof is that a treifa is not specifically limited to a defect that will certainly cause death, because as we learned in the previous parak, a musukenis, an animal which is very ill, we learned in the previous parak, is kosher. So we see it doesn't specifically depend on the disease, it depends on what Chazal establishes a treifa. And I saw that the Mefarshim in fact point out that we find a similar concept regarding Hilchas Krishma. We know that as we say in Krishma, B'shachbacha uf'kumecha, that the Zman Krishma is determined by when one goes to sleep and when one gets up. And as the Gemara Masechta Brachos explains, that the latest Zman Krishma is dependent on when the B'nai Melachim in the time of Chazal get up. One could certainly suggest that people nowadays, that there are many people that get up nowadays later than what we know is the Zman Krishma. However, that doesn't change when the Zman Krishma is. Because once Chazal established when the Zman Krishma is, that remains the halacha forever. Interesting vart that I saw. The Torah in the end of Parashas Shemini, where the Torah discusses the halachas of kashrus, which animals, which birds may be eaten, introduces that parasha, V'yidav Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron lemer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe v'Aaron, Dabru b'nei Yisrael, they should teach Klal Yisrael the halachas of kashrus, the halachas of what may be eaten and what may not be eaten. And as all the Mefarshim immediately point out, typically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the halachas only to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Moshe Rabbeinu would go on and teach it to Aaron, and Aaron to his sons, and there was a whole procedure. Why over here does the Torah give Aaron, was Aaron also taught the halacha together with Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Medrash responds, because the Yidayim Aaron, Aaron remained silent when he was told, when he found out that his sons Nadav and Avihu died, and that's chus, he was the person, he was included in the parasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu and him together, the parasha of Kashrus. And the question is, yes, we understand that Aaron HaKohen deserves a reward for this exemplary behavior, but why specifically the parasha of Kashrus that we're discussing now was the parasha that he was given as that schar? So Mefarshim explained, this is of course a fundamental question to be asked. How can someone eat, and why are we allowed to kill an animal in order that we should be able to eat? Why are we allowed to take the life of that animal if we want to eat? The answer is because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created four categories in the world. The domain, something that's inanimate, stone, the tzemeach, something that grows, flowers, plants, vegetables, fruit, trees, the chai, the animals, and the medaber, the human being, who not only is alive, but can speak. And the medaber is the highest level of creation, a little, just below the malachim. And the reason we're allowed to kill an animal is because we take that animal, and by eating that animal, and that animal becomes part of us, the animal goes up from just being a chai to now being part of a medaber. Say to Mefarshim, when is someone considered a medaber? When he truly has control over his dibur. When he truly has control over what he says and what he doesn't say. Who showed that he has this ability? Aaron, that was quiet. He was a bailim. He controlled his speech, when to speak and when not to speak. Such a medaber teaches us the Torah could eat the meat of an animal. But they go on to say the Torah is also teaching us a different lesson. Not every animal and not every piece of meat is a piece of meat that can or should become part of a medaber. Only what the Torah tells us is kosher has that ability to be lifted up to the madrega of a medaber. And if an animal is a trefa, that has one of the defects that we're going to discuss so extensively in our coming perek, then it doesn't have that ability, and therefore we have no right to eat it. So begins the Mishnah, Eilu Trefas with Behema. These are the Trefas and the Behema. Tosfos points out that the Girsa of our Mishnah is Eilu Trefas, easy version to understand. Eilu Trefas, these are the Trefas that the Torah teaches us we may not eat, even though, as we've learned so many times, when you do Shech the Trefa, what you accomplish is that it should not be Metama like a Nevela. Eilu Trefas and Mishnah now will list what is considered a Trefa. But Tosfos also points out that there's another Girsa that has it as with a Vav, Ve'elu Trefas. And that Girsa is actually reflecting back to what we learned in the previous Perek. The Mishnah quoted a Machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshevov by an animal that was a Iker or Chaluda. Is it considered a Trefa or is it considered a Nevela? And the Gemara explained, according to at least some explanations, that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that the first two cases that we're just about to learn are considered a trefa before Rabbi Kiva ultimately agreed with Rabbi Yeshevov's opinion. And that's why our Mishnah says, V'elu trefas. Our Mishnah is a continuation of what we learned in the previous parak of what considered a trefa before Rabbi Kiva ultimately agreed. The Kuvas Aveshet, an animal whose esophagus is punctured, or psukas agageras, if its trachea is severed. And as we just pointed out, the halacha, however, is, because even Rabbi Kiva ultimately agreed with Rabbi Yeshevov, that these two cases are not cases of trefa, but they're actually cases of nevela. In fact, the Rajba points out that there's a question. If nekuvas aveshet, if an animal has a hole in its veshet, it's already considered a nevela. He says every act of shechita involves cutting the veshet until it's completely cut. So this moment we make the smallest puncture, isn't it already a nevela? How may we eat it? So he says, Rashi and the Rajba explain that since the halacha is that one is supposed to cut. Since one is supposed to cut it without any interruption, as we've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, the Shia, any pause during the Shechita disqualifies the Shechita, therefore it's not considered that it ever had a chance to become an Avela. Even though we're saying that a Nekuvas Haveshet is, and a Psukas Agageris is considered an Avela, as we said a few moments ago, we know the Halacha is that a Avela is Metamei. Even if it, a nevela is always metama, even if it had a shechita, says the Rajba, this animal, even though it's already considered a nevela while it's still alive, will not be metama like a nevela until it's actually dead. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explain, when the Mishnah says besukas hagageris, that the trachea was severed, as we remembered, and we'll discuss the trachea much more later in our perek. But when the trachea is severed, it's only when it was cut through it most of its circumference. But if it was cut along its length, as long as, and we remember that the bunch, that the way the gargaris, the way the kakana looks is that it has a bunch of rings, as long as the top ring and the bottom ring remain intact, even if it was slit along the length, it's still kosher. The Mefarshim also asked the question, that our Mishnah, when it speaks about these first two treifas, Nekuvas Haveshev of Sukkos HaGargaris, use different terminology, uses different wording than we've been learning in our entire Mishnah. Because the rest of the Mishnah, as we'll see in a moment, says Nikev Halev, Nisak HaShedra, and here it speaks about something that was already Nekuvas HaVeshev of Sukkos HaGargaris. So most Mepharshim explain that the reason the Mishnah changes its wording here is very much in line with what we just said, because since these animals are already in the Vela while they're alive, it doesn't make a difference when this happened, then the category of an Vela, and that's why the Mishnah speaks about it in a different wording. Another explanation, also in line with what we said a few moments ago, is because only if it was Nekuvas HaVeshit, where it was a time for the Veshit to have a hole in it without it being part of the Shechita process, then and only then have we said that it's considered a Nevela. But if it was as part of the Shechita process and there was never time for it to remain on just with a hole, it would be considered Kosher. And that's why our Mishnah uses the words Nekuvas HaVeshit, that it had a hole in it and had a puncture in it before the Shechita actually took place. Others say that the reason the Mishnah uses this wording is that, unlike the other holes that we're going to learn in our Mishnah, the other punctures that we have to go through all the way, here any minimal hole would make the animal non-kosher, and that's why it uses this different wording. Nikiv halev, nikiv krum shamayach, if the membrane around the brain was punctured, and Rashi says that whenever we speak about a puncture on Mishnah, it means even the most minimal puncture. Nikiv halev lebeis chalola, if the heart was punctured up to its chamber, the halacha is that it's a treifa. The Rishonim point out that why does the Mishnah use this wording of Nikiv Halev Lebeis Chalolo? So Tosfos says the Mishnah uses this wording because the lev, the heart, unlike most other organs, has a very thick covering, and in order for the heart, for this animal to be an availer because of Nikiv Halev, the puncture has to go all the way through, all the way till the chamber. Other Rishonim explain, because as we know, the heart has more than one chamber, and the lesson of our Mishnah is that the hole that goes all the way, as long as one, even if one chamber has a hole, that is enough for the animal to be considered, that is enough for the animal to be considered a nevela. Very interesting discussion around this issue of the heart. What is the halacha if an animal is missing a heart? What is its status? So there's a famous tshuva, actually a series of tshuvas, written by the Chacham Tzvi, that said there was once a question posed to him where there was a person who had a chicken properly slaughtered, and they saw that the chicken was a healthy chicken, but then when they cleaned out the chicken, they seen that there was no heart. And the question was, what is the status of this chicken? And the Chacham Tzvi said that it can't be that this chicken could have survived without a heart. What must have happened was that as this person was cleaning out the chicken, the innards of the chicken, that heart must have fallen on the ground, and there was a cat walking around there, and the cat must have eaten the heart, because it can't be that this chicken would have survived without the heart, and he therefore said that the chicken was 100% kosher. The Yavetz disagrees very strongly. The Yavetz says in the Kreisi Uplasi that a heart, that it is possible for a chicken and animal to live without a heart, and therefore a chicken or animal without a heart is to be considered a treifa. Interestingly enough, he goes on to say that he checked this with some medical center, the greatest medical center in those times, and they corroborated that what sometimes happens is that it could be missing a heart, and a different organ could take the place of the heart. Rav the Chazon Ish, interestingly, agrees with this concept, but he says that that's exactly why it's kosher. He says because it's true, as the Chacham Tzvi says, that an animal cannot live without a heart. And if there is something that comes in the place of the heart, that organ that comes in the place of the heart now has the rule of a heart, and therefore it's considered an animal with a heart. Continues the Mishnah, Nishbra Shedra v'Nifsak HaChut Shelo, if the spine was broken and its cord was severed, there the animal is a treifa. Rashi and most Rishonim are of the opinion it's not that the broken spine that's a treifa, it's the animal with a severed cord that's a treifa. The Rishonim that disagree, and they explain that the Mishnah means either a broken spine or a severed spinal cord make it a treifa. Of course, the question is, according to the opinion of Rashi, that it's the spinal cord that makes the difference, so why does the Mishnah speak about Nishbara Shedra? Shouldn't have the Mishnah spoke about Nifsak HaChet Shelo? So some explain because typically when you'll have a severed spinal cord, you're going to have a broken spine first. And that's why the Mishnah spoke about the normal situation. Another pshat that I saw from the Chiddush HaHirim is that, let's say, the Mishnah is teaching us that if you'll have a broken spine and you can't see what's going on with the spinal cord, so you have a suffix, is it a treifa or not? The Mishnah is teaching us that if you have a broken spine, even though you don't know exactly what happened with the cord was misplaced, still that animal, because it had a broken spine, will be considered a treifa animal, because we could assume that the spinal cord was severed. Nitla covered, if the liver was removed, v'lo nishtayer himena klum, and none of the liver was left over. Hareya shenitva, if the lung was punctured. Oshe chasra, or it's missing part of it, it's a treifa. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon however says, at shetinokev lebeis hasimponis. It's only a treifa if it's punctured all the way through. Because, as the Mefarshim explain, the trachea divides itself and becomes two primary branchi. One goes to the right lung, and one goes to the left lung. Then these major branchi divide further into little tubes throughout the lung. And as Rashi points out, these tubes are not blood vessels, but they're tubes through which the blood sometimes collects in. The lungs are made up of a spongy material made up of many air sacs. And our Mishnah, according to the Tanna Kamma, says that any puncture in any part of the lung makes the animal a treifa, whereas Rav Shimon holds that just if the outer membrane of the lung was punctured, it doesn't become a treifa. Here too, the Mefarshim point out that the Mishnah, when it speaks about the reya, when it speaks about the lung, says hareya. Why doesn't the Mishnah hareya shenikva? Why doesn't the Mishnah use the same wording as nikva hareya, like it's used by all other of the organs that we're discussing? So the Mefarshim explain, one is, as we know the halacha is, that most treifas that we're going to learn that make an animal a treifa, we need not examine the animal if it has this treifa, because typically the animals don't have this treifa. However, by the lung, we have an obligation to check the lung, and that's why the Mishnah speaks about he'ikva hareya shenikva. Another teretz is that, as we just learned, the reya becomes treif much easier, just the smallest puncture in the outer membrane, according to the Tanakhama, or as we're going to learn in Amsecht Sirchis, if there are lesions, certain types of lesions on the reya, the animal's treif as well. That's why the Mishnah says hareya shenit. Our Mishnah now begins to discuss the stomach of an animal and how an animal becomes treif in its stomach. And as the Mefarshim explained, a kosher animal has four stomachs. First, the animal chews its food and it goes into the keres. From there, it goes into the base hakoisis. From there, it goes into the hemsis. Interestingly enough, there's a machloikis rishonim, how to pronounce this word. Is the word pronounced hemsis with the hay being part of the word, or is it pronounced hameses with the hay being the hay hayidia? And from there it goes to the cave of the final stomach. As we also know, one of the signs of a kosher animal is that it chews its cud, mala, geira. What that means is that the food goes from the keres to the base of kaisis, and then it regurgitates back to the keres and up to the mouth, and then goes all the way back. And then when the food finally leaves the cave, it goes into the dakin, into the intestines. So says the Mishnah, nikva keva, if the animal has a hole in the keva, nikva hamora, if it has a hole in the gallbladder, machloikis rishonim, what is the halacha if the gallbladder is missing? Tosfos and the Bahag say that just like a punctured gallbladder makes the animal treif, so to a missing gallbladder has the same halacha. Others, rishonim, say that it's only a punctured mara that makes the animal treif. Opinion of the Rabbah, a missing mara is not treif. Nikva hadakin, when the intestines were punctured, hakeris hapnimi shenikva, we spoke about the keres, the inner keres, the Gemara is going to identify what that means, oy shenikra roif chitzoina, or the greater part of the outer keres were torn. Rehuda says, hagdoila, by a large animal, the shear is a tefach, vaktana beruba, and by a small animal, the shear is this, the roif. And as the Mefarshim explained, here the definition of Gdoila and Ketana are not like we many times say, they're talking about different types of animal, but actually it's talking size. A large animal that has a bigger stomach, the shear is a tefach. A small animal which has a smaller stomach, the shear is roif. The Gemara again will explain if Rabbi Yehuda is arguing, Rabbi Yehuda is explaining. Hemsis or basakosis, these two stomachs, shenikvu l'chutz, that were punctured on the outside, because if they were punctured in the area from where the food travels from one stomach to the other stomach, that's a hole that's supposed to be there, and therefore it's not considered a treifa. And Adam Mishnah speaks about noflu menagag, if the animal fell off the roof, and as the Rishonim say, it doesn't mean specifically off the roof, if it fell off an area that's 10 tfachim high. So the halacha, as Rashi explains, is that animal may not be slaughtered for 24 hours. And Rashi explains that's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that we're not allowed to shech the animal for 24 hours. And even if we did shech the animal before, the animal is considered a treifa. And as Rashi says, as the Mefarshim explained, what Rashi says is because the animal before that time, even if we'll inspect the animal after we sheft it, if it didn't wait 24 hours, and the animal looks perfectly well, when we did an internal examination, the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai says that we have to be concerned that it's a treifa, no matter what our examination shows. Nishtaber roif tzlosah, most of the ribs of an animal are broken. Vidrusus hazev, or if it was clawed by a wolf. And here too there's a very interesting discussion
in the Mefarshim. Drusus Hazeif, as the Rishonim explain, is not treifa because it was torn. A Drusus Hazeif is a treifa because the Adam were concerned about the venom, the poison of the zeif, of the wolves, in the wolf's claws that go into the body of the animal. And as Rishonim explained, we're not concerned about a puncture we made, because the various different punctures that make an animal treifa have already been identified in this Mishnah. But rather what it means is that the poison in the claw could cause one of the organs to get burnt. And that's why the animal is treifa. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that this halacha applies even if one would shech the animal immediately after it was clawed, before there was a real time for the animal, for the poison to penetrate. I saw a very fascinating discussion in the Mefarshim about this. If we're concerned, say the Mefarshim, that the poison in the claws of this wolf penetrated the animal, and we're worried about the poison burning the organs, as we just explained, so why are we speaking about a wolf? Wouldn't it make more sense, say the Mefarshim, to speak about a snake? The snake being the best example, usually, of an animal with poison, with venom. So they sort of Mefarshim give a very interesting explanation. They explain that if an animal was attacked by a poisonous animal, and the poison, of course, affects the animal, that isn't what our Mishnah is discussing. That is a classical case of musukenes, of an animal that's diseased, which we've actually discussed, is not considered a treifa. Rather, the issue with our Mishnah is because the animal, the zeif, the wolf, has in its claws, because the claws are so dirty, has a lot of dirt that causes infection. And our Mishnah, explained in Mefarshim, is not focused on the poison. Our Mishnah is focused on the infection that could be caused because of this poison that the Mishnah, because of the Drusus Hazeif, that dirt could cause infection in the body of the animal, which could ultimately affect its organs. Says the Mishnah, Yudaima, Drusus Hazeif Bedaka, a small animal is rendered a treifa by being attacked by a wolf, Vedrusus Ari, a large animal, Begasa, is by a lion. Drusus Hanates, a small bird is considered a drusa with a nates, and drusus hagas, a different type of larger bird, it's a type of a hawk, b'oifaglas, and concludes the Mishnah. Zer klal, kol she'en k'mo chaya, any animal that's attacked, that it cannot survive, any animal that cannot survive after being going through one of these occurrences is a treifa. And as the Mefarshim explained, what the Mishnah is saying is that we can't check this animal anymore because this animal is dead. But we do is we look at another animal that went through a similar experience. If that animal cannot survive, that's a proof that this animal is a treifa and it may not be eaten. Says the Gemara, Aram Shimon Lakish, Remnes L'treif Minatar Minayim. How do we know about treif Midaraisa? Stops the Gemara, Minayim? We know, the Torah says, Ubasa Basar L'treif L'Isachelu. The Torah is very clear what, that you're not allowed to eat a treif. Says the Gemara, Ella, says the Gemara, what the questioner Shlokish meant to ask was, Remnes L'treif Shenachayim Minatar Minayim. And according to this, what Rishlokish is saying is that our Mishnah is following the opinion that an animal which is a treifa cannot survive more than a year. The Tani, Sefer, because as our Mishnah said, at the end we just learned, that Zara Klal, Kol She'en K'mar Chaya Treifa. The Torah says, the Mishnah says that a treifa cannot survive. The Klal, the treifa and the Chaya. After Ramanola and Rishlokish wants to know from where do we know this? To which he answers, the Ksiv, Zoyz Achaya Shetachelu, the Torah is teaching us, Chayachel, only an animal that can survive may be eaten. She'ena chayiv, an animal that cannot survive, loy teichel, may not be eaten. Mechlal, this is a proof that treifa loy chaya, that treifa cannot survive. Ask the Gemara, well, the man dam a treifa chayiv menolay, and according to man dam, the chaya treifa can't survive, from where do we know? So, before we go further to explain this machloikis of treifa chaya, treifa ena chaya. So, as I said at the beginning of the shir, the machloikis, as most Rishonim explain, is that everybody agrees that an animal that's a treifa cannot survive. Machlokes is, can it survive for 12 months, or can it survive longer? And, as the Rishonim explain, Pasha Pshan and the Gemara, the Rishonim and Achlonim explain, is that it does, whatever we have learned in our Mishnah and we'll learn in the Gemara, is considered a treifa. It doesn't make a difference if it survives or it doesn't survive. Once Chazal identified it's a treifa, it's a treifa and it may not be eaten. The entire machlokes they explain is relevant if we have an animal which is a suffix treifa. We don't know if it's a treifa. So the man da'amah that says treifa chaya says there's a simple way of doing a test. Let's see if the animal survives 12 months. And if it survives 12 months, then we'll know it's not a treifa. And the man da'amah that holds treifa ain't a chaya, that holds treifa chaya, that wouldn't be a legitimate test. That's the way most Mefarshim learn. However, the Chassam Sofer has a very different approach. He knows that we have the opinion of the Rambam that holds that this din of Sofik Daraisa, the din of Sofik Daraisa L'chumra, is only a din Darabana, not a din Daraisa. So, according to the Rambam, asked the Chassam Sofer, even when we have a Sofik Treifa, we should be allowed to eat the animal. Sofik Daraisa, we go Midaraisa L'kula. The answer is that since we could be mavar the suffix, we have a way of seeing what the true situation is. Even the Rambam agrees, says the Chassam Sofer, that's what we should do. So therefore, according to the man the Omer, that holds treifa eina chaya, according to the Rambam, wait the year and see. Whereas according to the man the Omer that says treifa eina chaya, we can't. There's no point in waiting the year, because the treifa could survive more than the year. So the Chassam Sofer is making a very interesting point. The previous pshat that we gave had the man the Omer that holds treifa ain't a chaya as the machmer. And according to man the Omer, according to the Rambam, the man the Omer that holds treifa chaya is the machmer. So the Gemara wants to know the man the Omer treifa chaya, according to the shita that holds a treifa could survive, menole, from where do we know this? So as far as I'm saying, why do we need a pasuk to prove it? Why would we think differently? So the Rosh explains, what the Gemara means to say is, now that the Gemara has used this pasuk, has brought us a pasuk that seems to indicate that treifa ain't a chaya, the treifa can't survive more than 12 months, how will the other man, the Omer, defend himself? Answers the Gemara, he learns it from the pasuk, nafkale mezois achaya shetoichlu. He learns it from the pasuk that says, zois achaya shetoichlu, zois achaya choyl, some live animals you may eat, a cheres, and there's some live animals, the loy teichel, that you may not eat, even though they're going to survive. Which type of that animal is that? A treifa. That means the Torah is teaching us that the treifa can live, and still we may not eat it. Ask the Gemara, v'idach, the mandamah that says, treifa in a chaya, hai zayis may avdlei, what will he do with this pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Mevoyle Lechot Tana de Beri Shmol. The Tana de Beri Shmol, Zoy Sechai Shetachlu, Melamet Shetofus HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekol Min V'min. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually took from every type of animal, Veheroi L'Moshe, and showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu V'amu L'Zoy Sechoyl, V'Zoy Sechoyl. This may be eaten, and this may not be eaten. Tysus says that even though normally when we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually sees something and showed it to Moshe, it was because there was a difficulty. Here there was no difficulty involved that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be shown it visually by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the point was that it was going to be shown to all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to actually be able to visually show Klal Yisrael what animals they may eat and what animals they may not eat. The Maral explains the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to actually show it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't just showing Moshe Rabbeinu the animal, he was showing him the reason why this animal may not be eaten and this animal may be eaten. Actually, there are some achrayim that suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not show Moshe Rabbeinu actually all the animals that may be eaten and the animals that may not be eaten. He only showed them one, and they understood by the deduction which is the other group. Although I did see other mefarshim that what actually happened was that every type of animal came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed to each animal and said what is its status, is it kosher or it's not kosher. Vidoch Nami asked the Gemara, and the other man, Domer, that said that he used this pasuk to prove the treifa en achaya, asked the Gemara, doesn't he need it to teach us the boyle chaton Rebbe Shmuel, what Rebbe Shmuel just taught us? Answers the Gemara, en achanami, absolutely. So asked the Gemara, so we're back to where we started. El treifa chayim enole, how does he know that a treifa can survive? Answers the Gemara, nafkele ma'idav tanu de Rebbe Shmuel. The tanu de Rebbe Shmuel, ben achaya and achelus ben achaya shlai toichu, to teach us, elu shmuel asked the treifa shnem l'moshlem esinai. There were 18 treifas that were shown to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were told, it makes no difference if they survive or don't survive, you may not eat it. Ask the Gemara. We just spoke about 18 treifas. The Suleka, are there no others? Virka Basger, Basger represents a simon, we'll see in a minute. The Sheva Shmaitza, and 7 more that were mentioned by different Tanon. In Mishnayis, we mentioned by Meroyim, in different Halachas. Says the Gemara, Bishlam the Tan is done, according to our Tan of our Mishnah, that are mentioned only 18, that, and even though we're saying that there are many more, that isn't the problem. The Tana, some of the treifas he mentioned expressly, the Shayim, and the ones that he doesn't mention, Asi v'Zayaklal. As we know, the Mishnah ended with the word Zayaklal, and those treifas that aren't mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah are included in Zayaklal. However, asked the Gemara, Ela Tanu de Rebbe Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel asked the treifas. That says that there are 18 treifas. The Suleka, and those are probably the 8, and those are presumably the 18 that are mentioned in our Mishnah. Asked the Gemara, the Suleka, are there no other treifas? For Ika, there are many others. For example, the treifa, an animal whose leg, whose hind leg was severed above the joint, and we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem exactly what that means, where the joint is. And furthermore, the Rishonim point out that included in this probably is included the Tsumas Hagidin, the area of the tendons, where the tendons come together, which also we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem is a treifa. So we have that treifa. Answers the Gemara, Savalak Rav Shimon ben Elazar, this Tana of Rav Shmuel agrees with Rav Shmuel, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Dami Yichayel Lichvis Lichvis, that the animal can be catheterized by heat and survive. Although the Ritva points out that even according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, this concept of Yichayel Lichvis Lichvis was only said by this treifa of Shenechtog Ragleh Menakuva Lamala. By any other treifa, says the Ritva, that wouldn't be a reason that it shouldn't be a treifa. Furthermore, many Rishonim suggest that even the opinions that disagree with Shimon ben Elazar will agree that if it was cut with a hat, if it was cut with a hat knife, it's not a treifa. Ask the Gemara. Afkav dichal lichvas lichyos. We're saying that why is it not a treifa? Because it could be healed with a hat through heat. Ask the Gemara, man comer, whose opinion are we trying to explain? Aren't we trying to explain, ask the Gemara, Tanya Rebbe Shmuel? And ask the Gemara, doesn't the Tanya Rebbe Shmuel hold that treifa chayes relay, that even if an animal can't survive, it's still considered a treifa? So why are we saying that how can we suggest that that Rebbe Shmuel agrees with Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar? Answers the Gemara, so the way most Rishonim explain is that he agrees with Rav Shimon ben Elazar's psak, but he doesn't agree with his reasoning. Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds it's out of treifa because it could be healed. He holds that that's not a good enough reason that it shouldn't be a treifa. But he holds it's not a treifa because this is not the fact that makes the animal into a treifa. Others explain there were two brises. One brisa gives this as Rav Shimon ben Elazar explanation. Another brisa says Rav Shimon ben Elazar just says kshera without an explanation. And that is the opinion of Rav Shmuel as well. Ask the Gemara, Viki Chasar B'Shedra, there's another treifa, an animal that's missing part of its spinal column. Because we know that Allah is that a mace is metama b'magga b'masa b'oil. But the Mishnah Masecht always teaches us that if we have a spinal column that's deficient, it's not metam boil. And it mentioned there, machloikis, how much is considered a deficiency that it's not metam boil. Kamech sarim b'shedra, that it should not be metam boil. B'shamer m'shtei choyis, only if it's missing two vertebrae, it's not metam boil. V'yisela m'choy achas, even if it's missing just one vertebrae, it's not metam boil. V'amar b'yudam shmul b'chem v'treifa. Just the opposite by treifa. According to Shmuel, as soon as it's missing one vertebrae, it's going to be a treifa. And according to Beis Shammai, by two vertebrae, it's going to be a treifa. But this is a case of treifa that's not listed. There's a beautiful vart from the Gra. The pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, "Lahavdo ben atomei ben ator, o ben achaya nacheles, o ben achaya shaloi teichel." So we ask that the pasuk seems not to be going in the same order. First the pasuk speaks about the tamei and then the tar, and then the tar speaks about a chay hanachelus, the animal that may be eaten and the animal may not be eaten. So he explains that that pasuk is actually referring to our machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The beginning of the pasuk, and the pasuk is speaking about a case of an animal that's missing one chulya. The pasuk is saying that according to Beis Shammai it'll be tamei, and according to Beis Hillel it's tar. But when it's treifa, it'll be just the opposite. According to Beis Shammai it'll be chaya necheles, because as we just learned, since it's only missing one vertebrae, according to Beis Shammai it may still be eaten, and that same animal chaya loy necheles, it won't be eaten. So we're talking about one animal. The animal that's missing one chulya, and the halacha is tamei. It is according to Beis Shammai, tar according to Beis Hillel. Chai nechelus, it may be eaten according to Beis Shammai. Chai shaloi nechelus, it may not be eaten according to Beis Hillel. Answers the Gemara. Hemsus of Beis Akosis. The Hemsus, the punctured Hemsus, the punctured Beis Akosis. The Kachosh Levitate was mentioned in our mission as two treifas, really Chashivna Bechada, considered one. We were trying to explain either because they both serve the same purpose, the stomachs that serve digestion, or because they're near each other, so we can remove one of them and put another one in its place. Ask the Marveka Gluda. The Gimel Abazgir stands for Gluda, an animal whose skin was missing. Answers the Gemara Savla Krameya. He holds, like the Tanavir Shmo holds like Krameya, that holds a Gluda is kosher. Ask the Marveka Charusa, an animal whose lungs shriveled up because they got frightened because a human made noise, is treifa. Answers the Gemara, Mara Mak Tanawa. Who's the Tana that includes a punctured Mara? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and therefore Apik Mara, take out this case via Charusa and put in the Charusa instead. Ask the Gemara, Vekishav Shmatzvah, that there's seven more treifas that Amaroyim taught us. Dom Rab Masna. Hai buka de atma, the shav medute, if the ball of the thigh bone fell out of its socket, it's a treifa. Vamer rachsh, made the rav, loks of a kuya achas, if an animal became diseased, even in one kidney, it's a treifa. Vitznan, nitalat chol, if the spleen is missing, shera. Vamer avira, b'shmei de rav, aloshan ala nital, only if it's missing, is it fine. Avon nitva, if it has a hole, it's a treifa. If most of the trachea and the esophagus become detached, we're going to speak of this on that mandalit, it's a treifa. If the root, if a rib was taken out of its base, it's a treifa. The gilgoylus, shenisus of a ruba, and the skull was crushed in greater part,
The flesh that covers most of the keres was mostly cut. Treifa are all treifa. So what are we going to do with all these cases that are missing where Shmuel says there are 18 treifas? Answer the Gemara. Nekuva. If we count punctured organs, there are tanya havi. There are 8 examples of punctured organs. Who says chshinu v'chat? They should all be considered as one type of treifa. So now we take 8 minus 1, because all 8 is just 1, after shev, so we could take off 7 from the count, file shev, and we could put these 7 in their place. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that when we speak about the treifas, we use broad categories, psukah nami treihavah, there are 2 cases of 7 organs, a severed trachea and a severed shedra. So we should consider them also chad, batzul chada. We should be missing. We'll be missing. We'll, now we'll be one short. Furthermore, we spoke about his punctured spleen. Nami nekuvahi. Isn't that also in the category of nekuva? Says the Gemara. Alhanach tati the apik. The 2 that we previously said that should be taken out. The animal who had its legs severed and the animal whose skin was flayed. Don't remove them from the count. And now, even though we count all of the Nekuvas as one category, and all the Psukas as one category, we will be able to come to 18 Treifas.